Hi, hello everybody, and welcome to a special post-race Daytona 500 edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. I'm your host. I'm the man steering the ship for the next, we'll say 45 minutes to an hour. Loganity, we're going to make it happen. We're going to do it. We're going to fly by the seat of our pants, and by God, we're going to look pretty handsome doing it, if I do say so myself. Am I a stud or what? Huh? Stud. S-T-U-D, stud. Ryan Hill in the comments. We can pull him up. I got a couple of people producing. Ryan Hill says Daytona 500 equals pain. All right. So if for some reason you missed the Daytona 500, maybe you've had a bad headache or slept all day. I don't know. In case you have missed the Daytona 500, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. wins the 2023 Daytona 500. He is your 2023 Daytona 500 champion for JTG Daugherty Racing, the 47. And Joey Logano finished second. It was a controversial end. It has been to some of our fine friends. Colin Bester said the commercials were too much. Yes, that was a fantastic commercial 500 we saw. I don't know what plays more commercials, the Super Bowl or Daytona. So Ricky Stenhouse wins the Daytona 500. Let's start there. Big moment for him. Huge moment for that team. We know that team is let's say, struggling some and all that. And let's say that, struggling with the funding, all that sort of thing. But big win, Daytona 500. Look, people, when you win the Daytona 500, you live forever. That's the reality of it. It doesn't, I mean, look, in previous incarnations of this show, we've had Derek Cope on here. Why? Because he won the Daytona 500. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. There's so many great storylines to unpack and talk about and all that. And again, I'm not driving the conversation today. I'm not. That is for Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm not driving the conversation. I want you, the listeners, the watchers, the fine folks, to drive the conversation. Ryan Hill made a comment. Ryan Hill made a comment and said, Daytona 500 equals pain. And then he said, or robbery. And he said, or robbery. Obviously, Ryan Hill is a Joey Logano fan. And the reality is, he got a little bit of the short end of the stick. Tough luck. Appreciate you, Colin. Thank you for tuning in. Adam, our show creator, our main man, my favorite Canadian not named Joey Votto. Always a pleasure to hear your lovely, lovely fingers hit the keyboard. So, Ryan Hill, you said robbery. Look, the caution, controversial. Here's the reality of it. Here's the truth. Here's as unbiased as I can give it. Ryan says, just want to know when is the right time to throw the caution. Here's the truth. Here's the reality of it, Ryan, and anyone else watching. These are what we call judgment calls. Just like we saw in the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs move, the holding call by Bradberry, that was a great debate. Here's the truth, being as unbiased as I humanly possibly can. These are judgment calls, meaning what one person's opinion of when it's time might not be the other person's opinion of when it's time. That's the truth. That's the reality. Like, there is no getting around that. What is holding in the Super Bowl is up to the official. It's just one of those things. It is. It's just one of those things. The reality is, it's a judgment call. It is a judgment call. That's the truth. And so, when is the right time for the caution? When safety is involved. But when is that? Who knows? Who really knows? That's just the truth. That is just the truth. It's a great question. What are some other reactions for the Daytona 500? Again, Ricky Stenhouse is your 2023 Daytona 500 champion. What are some other reactions? Let us know in the comments. What we're going to do is we're going to take just a quick moment. You're going to take a look at that intro again. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to give the dog a bone so we can have a full-fledged chat about other reactions to the 500, Stenhouse, the whole nine. We might even have a special guest pop in here. You're going to see that intro one more time. So we'll be right back. Don't move a move. Stay tuned. Welcome back to this special post-race edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Again, Daytona 500 post-race, I should say. Adam Carabine says, happy for Stenhouse. Glad everyone was released from the care center okay. Yes, that is paramount. That is number one. There was some scary contact during the chaos that was the big one that, Kyle Larson took some hard contact. Glad everyone's all right. That's the reality of Super Speedway racing is yes, fun to watch, exciting, edgy your seat, but the danger is higher than normal. It's a dangerous job, period. That's just the truth of it. And so it is. It is a dangerous job, and so we're glad everyone's all right. So, a lot to unpack. What do you think of the controversial finish of the Daytona 500? Was the right call made? Should it have been Joey Logano? Should it have been Ricky Stenhouse? We saw Kyle Busch come ever so close to winning his first Daytona 500. Were you rooting for that? It really was a fun race to watch overall. It wasn't too chaotic until that final stage. And look, so many storylines to talk about. Let's talk about Kyle Busch for a second. He came oh so close. Do you think his day's come? Do you think he wins the Daytona 500 one day? Ryan says, overall, I enjoyed the race and a happy NASCAR is back. Look, that's step number one. That's the special thing about NASCAR, right? This is our Super Bowl. And we just saw the Super Bowl last week. Rihanna doing the halftime show, the whole nine. Rihanna and her second child, her soon-to-be. And that's the end of the season. The beautiful thing about NASCAR is once you start, we have a whole 35 weeks. We have a whole 35 weeks to make it happen. There's a lot of people that say this is just the start of you know, the real start of the NASCAR season in terms of when we get to Fontana or Auto Club, whatever you want to call it. And that's the real start of the season, because there's nothing like this on the schedule besides Talladega. Maybe Atlanta, because now it's kind of Talladega's and Daytona's love child. But Daytona and Talladega and maybe Atlanta are pretty unique circumstances, and the real season kind of begins next week. So, we're all glad it's back, absolutely. No question. And it's exciting. We're glad for it. But there was controversy. Thoughts on how Jimmy Johnson's run was racing in the Legacy Motor Club car? Well, look, he impressed me, to be quite honest with you. We know that his final three seasons left a lot to be desired for him and every Jimmy Johnson fan ever, even frankly, probably every Jimmy Johnson critic. And so it's one of those things that you know, it's just a matter of you wanted to be respectable. You didn't want to have a part failure or blow a tire. And look, he got caught up in a big one. That's going to happen. That happens. That's Daytona. It's the way it is. And so, you know, that's a tough break. But all kidding aside, he didn't embarrass himself or finish 39th or have anyone going, see, that's why you should have stayed retired. You know, he had two, let's call it, years that left a lot to be desired in IndyCar. He was much better last year than he was his first year, but still not great. So yeah, I think overall he did fine. What'd you think, Ryan? What did you think? Did you think Jimmy Johnson, you know, did enough to not embarrass himself or second guess? I personally thought he surpassed expectations. You know, because again, I think they were quite low, to be quite frank, because I think we all looked at Jimmy Johnson this year, you know, with the Legacy Motor Club announcement coming in to co-own with Gallagher and Petty and the whole nine. We all looked at him, I think, with some rose-colored glasses and, you know, with, colored by nostalgia as well. And we forget that the last 3 years were not a lot to talk about. You know, he won the championship, and then the next year he won three races. After that, it was over in terms of his high success. And we forget that, like, he was, you know, it did not go well. Newer fans have not seen Jimmy Johnson win a race. That's unthinkable to me. And the fact that he's got 83 wins in the whole nine, it's unthinkable. But the reality is newer fans, like our own Adam Carabine, I don't think he has seen Jimmy Johnson win a race. I know that my better half, producer Peggy, who I call Peter, has not seen Jimmy Johnson win a race. So she has a hard time grasping what a big deal it is to have Jimmy back in the sport, because you just didn't see when he was owning the thing. So yeah, I think he surpassed low expectations, and it's one of those things where I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of. The big one's the big one. It's going to happen. So I told you we might have a special guest, and I believe we're going to. So let's try to bring him in if he's ready. Let's try him. Oh, it's our founder. AJ Appeal, I can't believe I can say this to you, but welcome to your first edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, this special Daytona post-race edition. How the hell are you? Doesn't that sound familiar?
I waited there a little bit because when you watch the news, the folks that are on the West Coast always wait 5 seconds before they talk. But I heard you loud and clear.
I was getting nervous. I said, oh, God, did we just do that?
It's wonderful to be here. I'm proud of everything you're all doing. And, yeah, we've got some free time out here in California. And I watched every lap of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. Hashtag Daytona Day has come to a complete end. So. Well, exciting stuff. And a Team Chevy car won. So how about that?
Well, I know you're excited about that, given your new role. And let's talk about it. First of all, you're a man with strong opinions on safety in motorsports, but especially in NASCAR in recent years. What'd you think? Did they throw the caution at the right time? There's some controversy of Stenhouse versus Logano. And was the caution thrown at the right time? Because obviously when the wreck starts, Logano... you know, there's been some photo evidence used that Logano was out front right as the wreck pretty much starts. And then obviously, like I was talking about, I don't know how much you saw, it's a bit of a judgment call on the official's part, which creates some controversy, of course. Mm-hmm. What was your take on it? Did they make the right call to the caution at the right time?
Well, the short answer is no, but unfortunately, my no is that they shouldn't have thrown the caution when the RCR boys were leading, and that was when they threw it at the wrong time. As far as them throwing it at the very end of the race, I do believe that NASCAR made a judgment call on safety. I don't think that they cared who was leading the race. Formally, as of the last time I was on social, you know, nobody had commented on the safety or well-being of Kyle Larson. That's a good sign. If there was a unknown status, they wouldn't have let you turn off your TV or your radio. He's okay. You know, maybe he's broke a thumb or something, you know, but not, if Kyle Larson was in even an unknown, let alone, you know, he was hurt, but even if it was just unknown, we would know. So I'm a little surprised that especially Twitter is going so wild about the unknown. As far as the caution, I don't have all the resources they have. I trust that they make a last lap caution call with best judgment. So it happened to be Ricky when they threw it.
Let's talk about that other caution you brought up. Let's talk about it. The RCR boys were leading, as you so eloquently put it, and they threw the caution. You seem to have disagreed with that, and that's what you were alluding to, at least. Why do you feel that way? Why do you disagree with it?
It's kind of what I just said. You know, it's there was no matter of driver safety, in my opinion. Once again, this is using the same resources. It's what I see on Fox, what I see on social media. No driver could have been injured by leaving that race to the finish line. You cross the finish line, your spotters tell you to bring it down. Even if your spotters don't tell you that, you know the checkered flag's in the air. Hell, Tyler Reddick will stop a lap early if you ask him to. So I think that it was just fine. And I also don't think they were playing favorites there. Sure, you know, I would have been happy to see Kyle Busch win one of these things, but they saw something I didn't, because it seemed very safe and unusual for them to have thrown it out at the time they did.
So let's talk about that. Kyle Busch comes up just a hair short. I mean, he's, what, two laps away from winning the Great American Race and becoming a Daytona 500 champion for the first time. It would have been an incredible story because, you know, it's been 25 years since the late, great Dale Sr. went to victory lane. We've seen that a lot this week. How big would that have been, number one? Number two, do you think he eventually does get that Daytona 500 trophy?
Well, it would have been real big. It would have been big if we never talked about Dale Earnhardt again. Kyle Busch winning the Daytona 500 is huge. It's good for the sport. Him switching from Toyota and Joe Gibbs over to Chevrolet and Childress, I don't imagine you're one of the people I'm talking about, but it really helped clear the air for people that are Kyle Busch haters this year. A lot of people that discare or don't care for Kyle finally turned that page and closed that book now that he's with Childress, because it's no secret that Kyle Busch haters are Dale Earnhardt fans quite often. And once again, you don't fit that formula either. But yeah, so it would have been really big. He's a two-time champion. He's the winningest driver in national events in NASCAR history. He had a loyal relationship with Toyota for a very long time. He was their bestseller, you know, and then he jumps over to Chevrolet after some contract and sponsorship concerns last season. It would have been really big. As far as the second part of your question, will he ever win it? I would say, you know, every year for years, I've said he's my pick. You know, I picked him today. He lost it again. So I don't know. It's funny because I always promise folks on this very show or a version of it that Michael McDowell is going to win the 500 someday. I'm not quite as confident with Kyle Busch. You know, I'd love to see it. He definitely has the skill. Nobody could argue that. But it's just there's ones that get eluded, and Mark Martin never won this thing either. And he'll go to the grave a happy race car driver.
Yeah, Mark Martin has never won it. Tony Stewart has never won it. You're talking about, I mean, you know, Tony Stewart is in the conversation for greatest of all time, according to some. So, I mean, but there is also that resume is never complete sort of thing. Other things to chat about with this race, since you said you saw it start to finish, let's talk about what Ryan brought up. What'd you think of Jimmy Johnson's first run with Legacy Motor Club? What were your thoughts on that? I thought he did very well and surpassed what low expectations he may have had. Speaking of comments from Ryan says, I don't think Kyle Busch will ever win the Daytona 500. He just doesn't have any good luck in this race. And it does take a bit of luck to get it done. Thoughts on that comment, and then we can talk about Jimmy.
Well, hello to Ryan. I know him and I have crossed conversations a couple of times over the years, so I'm glad that he's following you guys over on this end still.
Oh, he's a big leaguer most of the time. Diehard Logano fan, so I hate him for that.
Well, he was always good to me in the past, so I'm glad to see him in the comments. And I know you and him do your projects together, so that's really cool to see that name pop up. Jimmy was wonderful. He was patient. He went from 39th place up to, I think, fifth place, and then maybe he led a lap during a pit exchange. He was fast, but most importantly, and this is something that so many veteran drivers, and I'm talking about true veterans, the Larsons and the Elliotts and whoever, he's patient to a new level. He knows when to be aggressive. He won 7 titles being aggressive, but he knows when to calm it down and just focus and learn. This, folks, you got to remember, there's drivers that go several years without a race under their belt, and then they come back and they do good or bad. Jimmy has only been 2 years, and he's the greatest of all time in so many eyes. But what you don't think about, folks, is this is his first time ever in the next-gen race car. And so that makes it a new ballgame for him. Yeah, he had some ups and downs in IndyCar, but he's able to be innovative, and he did really well. If it wasn't for a wreck, he was up there third in line when Kyle and Austin were leading. So he could have won this thing. I wasn't surprised, and if he won it today, I wouldn't have been shook either.
Well, you know, I said, and you know, not to shamelessly plug, but I did an article a few weeks ago on racingrefresh.com. Go check out the website, by the way. I said that overall, especially in his second year at IndyCar, if his name wasn't Jimmy Johnson, you know, we're not too displeased with that year. But unfortunately, being Jimmy Johnson and the shadow and the myth and the legacy, no pun intended, that comes with being Jimmy Johnson,
yeah,
the expectations are frankly probably too high, especially when you're going into a quote unquote new venture like that. I think especially his first year, look, I don't care who you are, probably left a lot to be desired. But his second year, I thought was very, very okay for someone that if his name wasn't Jimmy Johnson, we wouldn't have any issue with it. He was the Indy 500 rookie of the race. And so, and he did well.
He was leading with 11 laps to go.
Right. And so there it is. It's one of those things that, you know, if his name wasn't Jimmy Johnson, I think we'd hold him to a different standard. Just like, frankly, if Kyle Busch didn't have as many haters, we probably wouldn't care so much about the fact he doesn't have a 500. Because that's what, you know, and I know because usually I am one. That's what us Kyle Busch detractors used to say. See, that's why he's not really in that GOAT conversation. He can't win the big one, when that's really unfair, and he has won at Daytona, just not the Daytona 500. I know that's a big just, but still. Ryan says he wants to give his hat off to Travis Pastrana today as well. Outside of that wreck at the end, he impressed him. There's the comment. That's something great for you to comment on, AJ, because you were much more well-versed in the overall motorsports world than I am. What'd you think of Travis Pastrana's run today? Obviously, he has a lengthy history with NASCAR, but mm-hmm. This is his first Daytona 500 run, and so special in that regard. What'd you think?
Well, you got to remember, if you're a racer, I'm not talking about being a fan. I'm talking about if you drive or race cars. I don't care if it's a wonderful nitromethane powered dragster, or if it's a dirt bike, or if it's a Red Bull powered airplane over in Germany. If you like racing, you know about the Daytona 500. You might not be a big NASCAR beef, but the beef is for Wendy's hamburgers. Okay, so
You got the too?
they know about it. Travis Pastrana is a racing junkie. He had a lifelong dream of racing in this race before he knew he was going to be an X Games competitor, before he knew he was going to be a business entrepreneur, before he knew that he was going to be a brand, just his name as a brand. He didn't know any of that as a little boy. He knew that he wanted to race in the Daytona 500. And, he's approaching what, 50 years old or something. And he made a lifelong dream come true. And that's all you can really ask if you're Travis Pastrana. Now, they're going into overtime and you're running 12th, and you've taken better care of your car than other absolute icons. Now you're saying something really impressive, especially considering that man's crazy. He'll go out there and die. And I'm talking about in a different way than the other men and women who race cars, where it's like, yeah, they know in the back of their head that it's dangerous, but they're not wanting to. No, he don't care. He'll die. Like he really has no respect for sanity and safety behind the wheel. And I don't know him, of course. But I've always said he can drive anything. I wouldn't put him in the same category as Jimmy or Tony or Juan Montoya or Elio, but he's like right below them and eating off of a silver platter instead of a gold one.
Travis Pastrana is kind of, we're both wrestling guys. He's kind of like Motorsports Mick Foley. It's just whatever, we'll go for it. And
He's an entertainer.
you could just see how thrilled he was all week long during Speed Weeks. I know he and Jamie Little had some good moments. She has covered Travis Pastrana since he was like 14 years old. And so it was like a family reunion for those two. And what stuck out to me was the vibrance and excitement. If I don't know how much you saw of the duels, but the excitement he had getting out of the car, he couldn't even get out of the car because he was just fist pumping and so excited, and he couldn't even focus on getting out of the car. He was literally doing both at the same time. Talk about, because again, you're much more familiar with his overall career. Is he well known for that enthusiasm in every aspect of his life?
Yeah, absolutely. So he was 15 years old, I believe he was, when he did his first backflip on the motorcycle. That was a dirt bike where he didn't really do a backflip. He backflipped off of a motorcycle, but you can pull it up on YouTube. A great start to his X Games career. Absolutely. He reminds me, to put it in NASCAR terms, because the broad portion of Racing Refresh audience are NASCAR fans. Picture every time AJ Allmendinger wins and multiply it by two. That's Travis Pastrana's standard energy level. I mean, it's just he's friendly. I've never seen him angry with anybody. And I've watched him in the motocross level. I've watched him in the X Games. I've watched him BMX, rallycross. I've watched him jump out of airplanes. So you're right. I am a little familiar, but I'm not the only one. There's folks out there that have studied him for a long time. I'm thankful to have seen his very first backflip in the X Games, I believe 04, all the way to today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, speaking of pleasures, it is my great pleasure here to there's we have another we got another team member coming on in, Mr. AJ Appeal. Let's bring in the best man, Colin Best, who wants to give his thoughts on the Daytona 500. I know he's not feeling the best, but turns out he's the best anyway. Our senior open wheel rider, the best man, and my dog says hi, by the way. Colin, how the hell are you?
Well, I couldn't be better. My voice is going out. Down here in the South, we celebrate Mardi Gras this time of year. So I've lost it. I sound like I swallowed Kermit the Frog. I'm reporting to you live inside my truck as there's a party going on inside my house. But I just wanted to hop on here. I saw the master, the pioneer, the visionary, AJ Appeal. Hop on. So I thought that I'd come on as well and share my thoughts of a commercial filled, too wide filled Daytona 500, which we saw probably one of the most ultimate underdog stories of the Daytona 500 unfold with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. winning the 65th annual Daytona 500. It's a great start to the NASCAR season. I'm glad racing is back. Let's just hop in. What were you guys talking about? And then I'll share my thoughts as well.
Well, we were talking about Travis Pastrana and his career and his run today. What do you think of Travis Pastrana's run? And then we got to veer off because I got to get your thoughts on this because there's controversy with it. Did you think NASCAR threw the caution at the right time? I know we got a slew of friends commenting on that.
So I'll start with Travis Pastrana. I thought he did exactly what he needed to do throughout the entire thing, which was try to finish the 500. For being a rookie, just making the Daytona 500 is a big accomplishment. Being in contention is a big accomplishment, but finishing the 500 is another one. And he got one lap. Well, according to the scoring sheet, he did complete all 212 laps of the Daytona 500, which he did. He finished 11th. Certainly exceeded my expectations. I thought Jimmy Johnson was going to outperform Travis Pastrana, and Travis Pastrana outperformed some of the champions of our sport in his first ever NASCAR Cup Series race. So I really thought if Travis wants to make another Daytona 500 attempt in his future, I think that he should totally do it. I think it's great for the sport for him to be there. It's sort of 2311 took the Trackhouse Project 99 year role for this year, where you brought a star from an international, you brought a star from another series in motorsports. Connor Daly was here too, but he didn't really do anything, unfortunately. But it was nice to see him. It was great for his run. I thought he did great. But for the cautions this week, you know, in the truck series, I thought it was fine. In the Xfinity series, you had Sam Mayer all the way turned around before that caution ever flew. That should have been called sooner. And then, you know, I would say that NASCAR, more so in any other series, when something happens on track, they're very inconsistent when they call cautions throughout their entire event. They're not the best at hitting the button at the right time. That's something they need to work on. But for me, it threw me back to the COVID year. And AJ probably remembers this, the Indy 500, when the controversy of, because usually for the 500, you end that race under green or caution. Or you try to end that race under green as much as you possibly can. For the biggest event of the year, which is the Daytona 500, I think NASCAR should try to do as much as it possibly can to finish that event under green. For such a prestigious event as it is, this is your biggest viewing, a TV viewership of the year. This is your biggest crowd of the year. This is it. This is the Super Bowl. And to end a race under caution, in my mind, kind of leaves a sour taste in my mouth, as opposed to, like, let's say we were at Fontana next week and it ended under caution. I'd be like, okay, that's fine. It's, you know, not the biggest event of the year, but, you know, we have to live with what we have to live with. It certainly wasn't the best Daytona 500 ever, but I don't think it was the worst Daytona 500 ever. It was certainly right in the middle. I'm in a truck, and if you look off camera this way, there's a cat climbing up on my truck right now. So I got visitors.
Look, that's what we like here at Racing Refresh Happy Hour. We want an audience of all kinds, dog, cat, whatever. It really doesn't matter. We're happy with it. There is no perfect system. There's going to be something you can debate and argue every single time NASCAR makes a rule change or a judgment call, just like we saw in the Super Bowl last week, the holding call. That's a judgment call. We see it every year in the NCAA football championships. You know, this year with Ohio State and Georgia, it was that helmet to helmet? They are judgment calls. There's going to be controversy. What you think is something and what I think is something might not be what the official thinks is something, because they are literally just a matter of opinion. And you know what they say about opinions. Everyone with an opinion is watching Racing Refresh Happy Hour. All right. So are you proud of that one, buddy? That was pretty good. It was pretty. Thank you, sir. It was pretty doggone good. AJ, while you're here, and I don't know how much time you have, but I would be remiss if we didn't ask you about how you're doing, what you're doing these days. you know, and you know, you've had a big career change, a big life change. Can you talk about that some?
Yeah, as they say to the South, Abeber ia trahake almunda seba ekabar. And what that means is, here's to drinking and swallowing, for the world is going to end. And that was the circumstances I think NASCAR had when they decided to throw the caution. They said they have to race end this right now. They don't have time to do another third overtime. So, Colin, I would say we probably agree on that. I made mention prior to you joining that I don't think they were playing favorites, but I do disagree with the call to throw the caution. You ask about, I don't want to make this about me, but if you followed along, especially on social media, I do have a new role, mostly based out of both Indianapolis and California, where I'll be working, as the digital coordinator of John Force Racing, and they are the reigning Nitro Top Fuel Dragster champions with driver Brittany Force and the Monster Energy Chevrolet, and John Force will be going for his 17th world title, as well as Robert Height, former champion in the AAA Flavor Pack Chevrolet Camaro. Austin Prock, he went from 12th to 3rd in standings with his Chevrolet Top Fuel Dragster down in the countdown last fall. And so all four teams have a lot of momentum going into Gainesville. The Winter Nationals will not start here in California. They'll be in Florida to start the year. We'll be back in Pomona in a few weeks. So it'll be a great opportunity for me to really get my feet wet. If you followed my coverage last year, it was no secret that drag racing became a priority. And I guess that paid off, but I'm so thrilled to continue to follow along with Racing Refresh. I'm proud of everybody. The transition has been long and rough and hard work. And to see that everybody is maintaining this wonderful brand and chasing their dreams as well, really makes me proud. So I appreciate that. I'd give you all Monster Energies if I had them, but I don't think I can give those to you through the lens.
Yes, Monster Energy. I know you could, well, if you don't know about them, you're living under a rock. I'm not going to steal your line. Anywho, Ryan says he thinks the caution was the right call, but they waited too long to throw it. But I am biased and want Logano to win. Look, I am so glad that, Ryan, you finally admitted your bias. I am so proud of you, because we all admit we're a little biased here at Racing Refresh Happy Hour for the most part. Well, I don't know. Adam doesn't seem like he's ever really biased. We love our favorite Canadian. Look, and I do have to remind you about Ohio State again. How about those Bulldogs? And how about AJ Appeals, Michigan Wolverines, taking down Ohio State back-to-back years?
Oh. Yes.
Sorry, Ryan. Hope you didn't just X out. We love you. All right. Look, we're in the closing. You know, we'll be here another 10 minutes or so, 10, 15, however the conversation's flowing. All right. So another Daytona 500. It's in the books somehow, some way, another. We got to talk about, what did you guys think of the pageantry to kick off the Daytona 500? The Daytona 500 legends kicked off the race. They even had the virtual lap, one more for all the legends where Richard Petty won. Colin, I hear you chuckling. What'd you think of the pre-race ceremonies?
I understand it was the 75th anniversary of NASCAR, but I remember when the Daytona 500 started at noon, and there wasn't an issue with TV jumping out because there wasn't a lot of post-race coverage on Fox. I mean, we only talked to the top three, and then they sent it to the Masked Singer, which is fine, whatever, it's Fox. But each year it gets longer and longer and longer. And Fox said at 2:30, tune in to the pre-race coverage. And I was watching from 1:30 Central Time. So nothing changed from what they were doing in that event to NASCAR race day to the actual race event itself. It felt too long-winded, and the one final lap, although it was a cool idea, I know that NASCAR has the ability to do that with real cars if they wanted to, or just do a parade lap where you have, you know, someone driving each of these historic cars from history, not in a race session, but, you know, let them all kind of like, you ever see the Tour de France where a biker will go up to the front and the guy in the rear will just keep going up to the front and kind of doing like a little draft train. And then coming out of four, you could put Earnhardt and Petty's car side by side with Petty you know, getting the nose out for the finish of that one, the greatest lap. I think comparing the pageantry, I'm kind of biased. I feel like the Indy 500 is just better. They get to the point. They understand that it's the gravitas of the situation. Penske does it. We sing Back Home Again in Indiana. Command of Fire engines, we go racing. That's it. It can take 15 minutes. But with NASCAR, it just feels like it's a show. It felt like I was watching the kickoff to the Elimination Chamber Saturday night, where it just kept rambling on and on and on, to the point where I muted my TV and went and messed around somewhere else. And I realized that the only way I knew the green flag was coming was because I had the MRN broadcast on as well. So I wish that in my heart, they would go back to a noon start or a 1 o'clock start on the East Coast. It'd be better for, I think, most of the fans in attendance. It'd be better for most of the fans watching on TV. Because that's where tradition was. It was a noon start. It was, we just set them up, we go. But certainly, I think this Daytona 500 just be marred the commercials. It was just too much for me, and I'm just glad we didn't get the Burger King commercial that we saw during the Super Bowl that's been going all over the internet. Thought it was going to come, but it never did. But in true, you know, we were pit bulls at one point, true pit bulls fashion. I think I was 3 Jack and Cokes into the pre-race show before I'm like, okay, let's get this race started. What are we doing here? Because it just felt like it was just going on and on forever. So once the race went underway, it was just this huge sigh of relief. And it's like, okay, we're doing this thing. We're finally racing again.
Not that we recommend drinking and podcasting, folks, and doing a post-race show, but if you feel the need.
I'm sober now.
Yeah. Oh, that's all right. Have you seen Michael Waltrip a few years ago at the Daytona party?
No.
Oh, you got to look that up.
He's a big Mikey guy. Like, I thought Mikey just appeared at the Dierks Bentley concert. He just appeared on stage. And I'm like, what's Mikey doing on stage? Just talking to Dierks. And he just goes away. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. But I don't know. I think part of me wishes NBC would take over the 500. I don't know. That may be a controversial take, but I feel like with Steve Letarte and Dale Earnhardt Jr. I think it'd be better for the sport having an Earnhardt call a 500. Cause that way an Earnhardt lives on in the Daytona 500 legacy forever, because you can have these calls where, you know, Earnhardt won in 98 and he was so important to the history of Daytona. You know, Junior won two as well. But if he was calling the final lap of the 500 with Rick Allen, like no matter 100 years, another 75 years from now, you would hear Junior's voice and Earnhardt calling someone to the checkered flag. I mean, what if Junior called Austin Dillon's 3 car to the Daytona 500 victory? It'd be so cool. It'd be like this full circle moment, because RCR and Earnhardt are so ingrained with each other. And NASCAR is all about family. NASCAR is all about this lineage of history. I think it'd be great. And Mike Joy would add gravitas to the championship race, which I think it so desperately needs at this point. But that's a conversation for another day.
Well, hey, look, I'm all for, we agreed that when we went on the air tonight, it was going to be just a no holds barred and we'll see where it takes us. We even got a new guy in here, AJ. And so new, right? Look, I'm with you, Colin. Overall, I've grown to enjoy NBC's coverage more because they put more into the post-race, especially, and digest it with you and, you know, have the options of Peacock. We also have to give a little bit of a break to the people at Fox. They're doing a lot. They're dealing with a lot. Fox is a crowded network. And the reality is this is a game of ratings and TV time and the whole nine. So we have to factor that in as well. I like the pomp and circumstance. I agree it's a little too long. I would like to just see an hour pre-race, and I think that's plenty because, you know, the reality is we're all pretty hyped up for the 500 anyway. Because if you – if you look at it, and again, we're all three wrestling guys, it reminded me of a lengthy WWE broadcast in the sense of like WrestleMania, because I started watching coverage at 11 a.m. Eastern time. They did the NASCAR race day with Shannon Spike, Larry McReynolds, and Trevor Bain. And then at 5 o'clock, they moved, or 5 o'clock, pardon me, 1 o'clock Eastern time, they moved over to Fox and were two hours plus there. So yeah, you're right. It's lengthy, but at the same time, nobody really complains about the fact that Super Bowl coverage is on all day long. You know, it's just us people that decide to kind of do it and watch it. So I get the complaints. I agree about the commercials. Now, I thought there were far too many commercials during the race, but at the same time, that's what pays the bills, and it's the most viewed race of the year. Like, as a viewer, did I hate that it was the commercial 500, especially during the first big one when they're side by side like it's an AEW Dynamite? Yeah, I was frustrated by that. AJ, you're someone that looks at the business from all angles in that way. You were very critical of, if I recall, a few years ago on this, on an incarnation of this show, you were very critical of an Indy 500 with a boatload of commercials. I can remember you distinctly staring and pointing into your Mac with your finger. It was good times. And so you had that left hand going like you used to do and doing all the switching. So I want to talk to you because I was going to reach out to you privately, whether you were on this show or not. What'd you think of all the commercials, and was it too much? Is there a way to scale that back? Cause there was a lot of complaints. Commercial 500 at one point was the number 9 trend on Twitter.
Well, you know, sometimes the great partners of racing pay the bills, like Chevrolet, Peak, Blue Def, Montana Brands, Rocky Mountain Twist, Monster Energy, Flavor Pack, Cornwell Tools, and AAA. But sometimes, you know, it's not that simple. Sometimes, you know, you also want to make sure, you know, that you're entertaining, and, you know, you can't all just be at the farm, you know, making your vegetables from your NK seeds, but you can put on a good show if you're Fox Broadcasting. And so I guess there's a couple of discussions being had right now. And one of them is I'm really kind of a middle ground. That's not usually my take. I completely agree with Colin as far as it's not necessary. But if this is how Fox pays their bills, you know, I don't know their information, and they're saying it. They must be telling us that's how they're paying their bills. As far as the lengthy pre-race, you can make a pre-race all day long. You mentioned the Super Bowl, and you're right. Like, a lot of Americans will watch 16 hours of Super Bowl coverage on the big game day. But they're high-quality shows with lots of things you can absorb, and a lot of the junk that we see on Daytona Day is quite simply that it's junk. You know, the day that Dale Earnhardt died, they had NASCAR This Morning that aired on your regional Fox affiliate. It was Derek Cope, John Roberts, Winston Kelly, and like a fourth rotating person, all absolute legends and knowledgeable people within the sport. And they would give you so much information. Then they would take it to your national broadcast over on what was then known as Speed Vision, and they would do like a race day for a half an hour, and that would get you pumped up, get your beers and your pizza orders in, and then another half hour pre-race show on Fox National on your local. They could have doubled that or tripled it, but it was good, consistent content. Now we're over here, the gridwalk. What are we doing? Well, I mean, what are we doing here? You know, so if there's nothing there, why are we doing it? I didn't see the augmented reality. I read some tweets about it, and I heard that I wouldn't like it.
Oh, no, you wouldn't have. It looked like NASCAR Ignition did it. I got to be honest with you. I don't want to cut you off, AJ, but you are a purveyor of all motorsports.
And I am.
I'll take you to the open wheel side. Formula One or ESPN has Mothers as a sponsor of their uncommercialed Formula One coverage.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, especially in America, where in F1 it's more of a worldwide sponsorships, so you have like DHL and like Team Strike, but those are companies that have an international reach, whereas NASCAR is more of a country regional reach. And how many things are sponsored by Toyota and Coca-Cola and Napa? And I can't remember all the commercials, even though there were so many. I feel like I just tuned them all out. But NASCAR is one of the prime sports where if you wanted to do a commercial break, you could just go to the Toyota in-car camera of Bubba Wallace to do your Toyota commercial side by side, where we never leave the race because A, you're having footage from the Daytona 500 inside a Daytona Toyota with Bubba Wallace, and you can still play your commercial side by side. Or you could tell companies to, or Toyota or DoorDash, McDonald's, or whatever these companies that add broadcast, or Bush, because they were very prominent throughout the entire 500. Hey, this commercial-free segment of the 500, let's say 40 laps, because that's how you get more sponsors in, is brought to you by Bush Light, brought to you by Ally, Coca-Cola, and that would lead you to the entire conclusion of the race. And at the end of the race, then you can do a five-minute commercial dump, and then you can go back in your pre-race, post-race coverage, if time allowed it, because with Fox and FS1, they don't really do, Fox doesn't do post-race anymore. Because back in the day with the Speed Network, you'd go to Fox, and then you'd immediately switch over to Speed, and then you get NASCAR. Well, was it NASCAR Race Day or NASCAR Post Race or whatever it was
called? Victory Lane.
Yeah, you do NASCAR Victory Lane, and then your race broadcast would be done, and then you'd move on to Dave the Spain at 9 o'clock. IndyCar does at least side by side for most of their event. In NASCAR at NHRA, and it's probably because NHRA doesn't have a lot of live programming, or at least they don't broadcast live program. It's tape delay. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but if it's tape delay broadcast, I mean, commercials are whatever. You have to let the car stage and get ready to go out and do their runs. But for NASCAR, I mean, Christopher Bell took the lead on a very daring move, and I didn't see it. I heard about it on MRN. It was like Christopher Bell took the lead, and I went to the TV, and I'm like, oh, we're in a Bush Light commercial with Sarah McLachlan. It would have been cool to see that pass for the lead, but we didn't see it. And it's sad. We have to live 16 weeks with Fox because they do this. They're the biggest perpetrators of the commercial-filled broadcast. But NBC at least does the NASCAR side, NBC side-by-side, because they follow their IndyCar coverage, and it works for IndyCar. And they're like, we can do it with NASCAR too. So I think this is just a Fox specific thing. And I think I'm just spoiled from Formula One, because you get to see a full 90-minute, 2-hour race, no commercials. And it's just pure, this pure thing. It's great. And there may be a mother side by side during an F1 race. I've seen that before. But you never leave the action on track. And I think that's the biggest thing, where in football you have timeouts, in baseball you have inning changes, in hockey you have, you know, timeouts as well. But NASCAR, you now have stage breaks, or they're cleaning up from a caution. But if we were going to get a Daytona 500 up until who brought out the first caution? It was the wreck that collected Chase Elliott, right? That was the first caution.
I personally felt like they should have threw the caution with the Riley Herbst spin. I thought that was, you know, I know it was unlikely to cause any harm, but that's a little too close for comfort for me. Well, I'd rather be safe than sorry. Yeah, it was the Chase Elliott. It was the Chase Elliott accident that got Chase, Eric Jones, and a few others. Your audio is muffled, Colin.
Oh, sorry. Yep. But even back in the day, and AJ's, you know, I don't know how old AJ is. He's an anomaly. I think he looks like he's 28, but I'm not sure.
I know. He looks fantastic for 79.
Thank you. He looks great.
Fantastic for 79.
Congrats. I got to turn my car on every once in a while because the battery just cuts out. Thank you,
Nisa. This car sounds like a microwave.
I'm hungry. I got to tell you.
But, you know, NASCAR back in the day used to, if there was a caution, they would cut out of their commercial break and go right to the caution. And they didn't do that for the 500. And I think that really hurts them. I mean, it's such a black eye on the sport that the number one trending thing on Twitter at one point was the Daytona 500. And you scrolled all the way down to 9th or 10th, and it was the commercial 500. That's a huge black eye on your sport. It's at the biggest event of the year. That's not a good thing for them.
Look, I have to agree. Again, we do have to factor in that all can decide. When you're on the big Fox, you're going to get bigger ratings, but that also means more constrained and tighter networks and the whole nine. At the same time, it is frustrating because, you know, I don't know their books, but I feel like the Murdoch family could afford to, I don't know, maybe at least give us a commercial-free final stage or something like that, or maybe just one commercial, or I don't know. Look, I have grown increasingly dissatisfied with Fox's coverage, but it is what it is. I understand that since the Fox coverage began in 2001, obviously, ironically, they begin 2001 on that fateful day that we lost Dale Sr., which 22 years ago yesterday now. Fox as a whole has changed. They didn't have such a big push for football, and now the USFL is coming to Fox in April, and it's just a very crowded network, and every minute of TV time is extremely valuable. We also should factor in the fact that, hey, the TV deals are coming up soon, and they're going to make negotiations, and hopefully NASCAR gets a better end of the stick. But NBC has some advantages that Fox doesn't, because Fox is much more crowded. All can aside, when you stick a race on USA or you have a streaming service like Peacock, there's a lot more options you can use. Fox doesn't really have that at this point. It'll be interesting to see if that is a discussion that Steve Phelps and France will have with the networks that be. But we're coming close to the end of this post-race gaggle. That's what they call it when the president talks to reporters or his press secretary, a gaggle. I want this, and I know this is going to be crazy. I want your way too soon picks for the 66th annual Daytona 500, because this is what this show is all about, the post-race Daytona 500. So I want you to throw me a shot in the dark. Who's going to win next year's Daytona 500? Because that, again, we'll talk more about everything else when we do the regular show on Wednesdays. But to end this thing, I want your pick for next year's Daytona 500 way too soon, like the power rankings on ESPN the day after the national title. Colin, you look like you're really thinking on it. Talk to me.
See, it's so hard because every time you come down to Daytona, especially the past 2 years, it's yeah, hold on. I'm getting people, but I'll be quick. It's usually Ford. It's going to be someone out of the Ford camp, most likely. And I'll be right there. Hold on. Yeah, good thing we're wrapping up because I'm getting the curtain call from the old lady. Yeah, so I'm going to go Ford, and it's probably going to be the most boring pick. Because as the laps were winding down, I'm like, please no, because if he wins, it's going to be so boring. But he's so fast every time we go to Daytona. I'm going to pick Joey Logano. I know it's a boring pick, but he's really good at Daytona. He's really fast. The Fords just find a way to do it. I know AJ is probably going to pick someone on the Chevy camp because he's probably contractually obligated to do something Chevrolet. But I'm going to go Joey Logano, your 2024 Daytona 500 champion.
All right, Mr. AJ Appeal, give me your way too soon.
And it was a joke, AJ. I don't want to get you in trouble with anything.
Well, we all know that there's nothing to make me happier than seeing a Chevrolet Golden Bow Tie winning in any form of motorsport. But I'll give you my honest prediction of next year's Daytona 500. Cole Custer's going to win in a part-time ride next year, of course. Wow. He did really well yesterday. He's got a lot of speed. He's got a lot of money. And he won't be full-time, but old Cole Custer's a lot. Cold Custard will win the 2024 Daytona 500.
All right. And Ryan says that's a great pick, Colin. I wonder why. And our producer says that Ryan Blaney's finally going to get one. You know, he managed to finish eighth in that wreck bucket of lovely Ford. And That's
yeah, good. But he did have Peak Blue Def on his hood, which is a wonderful partner of the motorsports world. Peak that Blue Def.
So, do you hear a register hitting every time AJ says something? Cha-ching.
I just thought that because I've been to a lot of concerts and my ears are pretty shut.
I hear it. It's somewhere.
But anywho, I'll give you my way too soon pick. I'm sure I'll change it in a year from now. But right now, I'm going to say that Eric Almirola gets one in his final Daytona 500 as a full-time driver. Remember, it was a 2-year contract extension with SHR, so we're all fording it up. And I can't do a podcast or a show with Mr. AJ Appeal without letting him do the outro. So if you would do us the honors, Mr. AJ Appeal, and bring us home, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Well, I'll say, you know, I appreciate y'all having me on. I didn't know if you'd need somebody or not. I just wanted you to know I was free. Of course, I am bought and paid for, but that's okay. You know, I just wanted to say hi to my friends at Racing Refresh. I'm proud of everybody. I'm thankful for everybody. This is a brand that I'm not really a part of, but will always be my baby. And it's been a lot of fun to see that it's been maintained. We mentioned a couple of things that I feel like I need to offer a disclaimer. The Fox Sports is a wonderful partner of NHRA, and if you're interested in watching drag racing without commercials, you can pay for NHRA TV, which you can get at nhra.tv. It's an annual subscription. They just lowered the price. Go ahead and get it now. Commercial-free, you can watch every event, including pro and historic mod. Tony Stewart, NASCAR legend, going to run full-time NHRA Top Alcohol. Once again, the great folks at Chevrolet, Peak Blue Death, Montana, Rocky Mountain Twist, Monster Energy, Flavor Pack, Cornwell Tools, AAA, NK Seeds, Baldwin Filters, Herco, Goodyear, and Sunoco Race Fuels keep us running. And, you know, as my friends in the South say, bar con el codo lo que escribe con la mano, which means he erases with the elbow what his hand was writing.
Wow. So real quick, I'm gonna offer my closing time because I gotta get out of here. AJ, it was really great to see you calling in all the way from California. Which is really cool. I love that you have the list of sponsors ready to go at a moment's notice. I'm very happy for you and the endeavors that you have partaken upon yourself. We hope that Racing Refresh does you proud in your absence, and you're more than welcome. I guess I speak for Logan. You're more than welcome to come on anytime and talk to us about the things that are going down.
You only created the damn thing.
Yeah. I mean, you're the leader in straight lines. I'm more of a left, right guy. Logan's the circle guy, but you're the straight line guy. So my final thoughts, it was great for the Daytona 500 to be back, but you know, we are 98 days away from the Indianapolis 500. So that's all I'm going to say. March 5th, St. Petersburg, Florida. Check it out. I said the definitive IndyCar preview will be out tomorrow. It was a mistake on my part because work and personal stuff got in the way, so that article was not out on Friday, but it will be out. It is a glorious in my Google Docs. It is 10 pages long of all the IndyCar information you need to know. With that, Logan, I'm going to sign off. AJ, it was great to see you. And for everyone watching on our live streams and everything like that, we'll see you Wednesday as we continue to break down the Daytona 500 and get ready for NASCAR returning to Fontana for the final time at the 2-mile oval. With that, it's a pleasure to see both of you. I'm going to go eat a ton of cough drops and get better. Happy Mardi Gras to all the people in the South. And Logan, it's beautiful.
Always appreciate you, wow. Colin. Get well, drink some tea or whiskey or whatever, and rest that voice. We'll see you Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's 5:30 for you California folks. So, folks, before we go, please do me one great favor, as our founder would say. Hit that like, hit that share button, follow us on all the socials. And look, another Daytona 500 is come and gone. 65th edition overall. Pretty incredible. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. with that Kroger car. JTG, Brad Daugherty. There's even an Ohio connection because Daugherty played for those Cleveland Cavaliers. Anywho, AJ Appeal, it's closing time. So would you do me a great favor? One more time for at least a while. Could you take us home?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a wonderful opportunity to be here with the great folks of RacingRefresh.com. I really appreciate having me on. I was saying this out of habit. We appreciate having so-and-so on, but it was me. Folks, I didn't want to make this about me. I appreciate it, Logan. I hope everybody enjoyed the race and that you're thankful that all of the great forms of auto racing in the North American region are back. I want you to do me a great favor. Be kind to yourself and be kind to others. Smile, be happy, and until then, take care. And as our friends to the south would say, sea amable consigo mismo, sea amable con otros, sonríe, sé feliz, hasta entonces, cuídese. Take care.